Stockholm, Paris, Berlin, Kiev, Ljubljana, Bratislava, Amsterdam, Bucharest, 2-1. Welcome to Network Europe, a partnership of the continent's leading international broadcasters. I'm Sarah Elzis in Paris. Today's program has a theme, youth violence. We hear stories about school shootings in the United States. Well, some say youth violence is on the rise in Europe as well. Each country has its own set of problems, from violence at schools.
They find younger and younger boys getting involved in this, and they are being recruited from the schools.
What are the problems with youth violence in Europe, and what are the solutions? Coming up on Network Europe. Our first story looks at guns in the UK. Repeated shootings over the past few months have raised fears about gun crime in Britain's black communities. Police and politicians have struggled to explain the surge in violence. Many black community members blame a culture that glamorizes guns and gang membership. Deutsche Welle's Stephen Beard reports from London.
Canon Ivor Bowman is a black Church of England minister who lives and works in the South London district of Stockwell. Over recent years, he's buried 25 young black men, all victims of gun crime.
What concerns me today is the ages. They seem to be getting younger and younger.
Gun crime in London's black community is nothing new. 9 years ago, police set up a special operation called Trident to crack down on the problem. Paradoxically, says Canon Bowman, the young age of the latest victims reflects a policing success.
The success of Operation Trident, taking out the major players, the older heads, and they have somewhat left a vacuum. And there seems to be some young pretenders who are aiming to fill that vacuum.
The most obvious explanation for the guns and the violence in South London is drugs. In spite of Operation Trident, the trade in crack cocaine and heroin is flourishing here. Dealers brazenly approach passers-by in the street offering their wares.
You want something?
Where'd you go?
The store.
Rocks.
Yeah, come on.
I'll give you 20. I'm giving you 20.
Yeah, deal with them. Yeah, deal with me.
Guns follow the drug trade as night follows day. The gangs rely on these weapons to enforce their deals and intimidate rivals. Pretty soon, the guns themselves are being traded as freely as the drugs. Though handguns are now banned in Britain, they're widely available on the streets of South London for less than $100. Over the past year, Operation Trident alone has seized over 900 firearms and almost 62,000 rounds of ammunition. The number of incidents involving guns in London has tripled over the past decade to more than 180 a month. Now the gun and gang culture is increasingly fueled by fear, says this anti-gun campaigner who calls himself Wisdom.
A lot of kids are getting involved with guns and knives and weapons as a form of protection because they might have been robbed, they don't feel safe. There seems to be a lot going on between different postal codes, between, for example, in this sort of area, between Brixton and Peckham and New Cross. So therefore, people are getting tooled up as a way of protecting themselves because they feel afraid. So that's one of the reasons that people get involved. It's just purely because there's strength in numbers. But that also means if someone has any beef with your crew, you might be called upon to get involved in some sort of retaliation.
Journey with me into the mind of a maniac. Doomed to be a killer since I came out the nutsack. A man of murder.
There is the added problem of gangster rap. With lyrics that celebrate the gun and endorse killing, this music is spreading a totally destructive message to young working-class blacks, a message reinforced by violent videos. Blacker Dread, a black record producer whose own son was shot and killed, deplores this corrosive culture.
I think that what's happened is that the youths, they're watching a lot of videos and television, and the gun is glorified. And if you glorify something, people want to be a part of it, and I think that's so totally wrong. Fatherless children are out there, and the mothers don't really know how to... They can grow up a boy, and we know mums are brilliant at it, but there's boy things that boys need to be told.
The music and the videos have a potent effect on young black men, says community worker Wanu Seshmi, because the gun is equated with manhood.
A lot of young boys feel that if I have the gun, I carry it around, I'm a man, I'm a gangster. And, you know, a lot of young boys are learning how to become men from videos. For the simple reason is that in the homes that they come from, I don't think they listen to the family. They're not, you know, they're not receiving positive idea of what man is.
The British authorities have tried to combat the pernicious effect of this negative culture. This video, produced under the auspices of Operation Trident, depicts the danger of gangs and guns. It shows how a trivial argument escalates from verbal abuse to pushing and shoving until one young man pulls a gun and the incident spirals out of control. The lyrics of the rap song that accompany this drama contain a novel message that guns and gangs are a dead end in every sense. But this will not on its own reverse the tide of gun glorification, says Blacker Dread. Black families have the responsibility to make sure their young boys are not exposed to gangster rap.
I've got my DVD and my video in my bedroom. I can watch and do anything I like. That we need as parents and as elders, fathers, mothers, brothers and sisters, to know what our young ones are doing.
The British government has suggested a further crackdown on guns. It could lower the age limit for imprisoning people found with a firearm. Someone as young as 17 would get a mandatory jail sentence of 5 years. Misha Paris, a successful black singer, has dismissed this suggestion. She says the real challenge is for the black community itself. The real problem, she says, is the chaotic lives of some young black families who exercise little or no control over their kids.
I think that in my view, if we don't go to the root of the problem, we can't solve the whole problem in the first place. We can't just slap on a five-year sentence on a problem like this. This is a much, much bigger problem than just adding years to someone's life if they go to jail. It's rubbish. What it really needs is to go to the root of the problem, and it's parenting, community. We need to all get together and rescue the children that are out there.
This represents a marked shift in attitude. Increasingly, black community leaders in Britain are saying there's only so much a government can do. The real remedy lies in our own hands.
That was Deutsche Welle's Stephen Beard. We turn now to the Czech Republic, where the issue of aggression in children is causing alarm. School bullying is a relatively new phenomenon in this former Eastern Bloc country. Children would have led far more regimented lives 2 decades ago. School violence gets a lot of attention in the Czech press, and parents wonder what to do. Radio Prague's Daniela Lazarova reports.
Violence in and outside the classroom has become a major problem for most Czech schools. 8,000 children are injured every year in school fights, and the injuries are increasingly serious. What were once childish skirmishes now require medical treatment, and headmasters often have to call in the police. There's no lack of evidence because the kids often record the violence on their mobile phones and even put it on the web. The situation in the North Bohemian town of Ústí nad Labem is now so serious that the police are involved on a daily basis. Jan Novotný, deputy head of the Ústí police, says the situation has necessitated special measures.
We've increased the number of police officers patrolling selected schools in order to prevent physical attacks and bullying.
The police are also putting up special letterboxes in schools where children can anonymously report incidents of bullying and violence. A recent poll conducted among primary school children suggests that 48% of children have either been bullied or witnessed a bullying incident. Only 1 in 2 report it to the teacher. Jaroslava Milasová is a 7th grade teacher in Ústí.
Yes, we do have a problem with bullying. We had to merge 2 7th grade classes recently, and things got much worse because there's not one troublemaker in class, there are 5 of them.
So what's to be done about the problem? Parents blame schools for failing to control their children, and teachers blame parents for not bringing them up properly. Very often you hear the opinion that today's generation is more aggressive and the growing violence is ascribed to the world we live in, something we can't do anything about. Child therapist Dr. Vrbovská says this is a big mistake. Today's children are no more aggressive than those born 100 years ago.
You know, aggression is a natural part of our being. There will be two basic forces we possess as beings. It's aggression, it's an ability to destroy, it's ability to fight. And there's another, it's a creativity, ability to create things, to give. And these are very basic powers every being has got, otherwise we wouldn't be able to survive. So we shouldn't be thinking, oh, these children are aggressive. What happened to them? They shouldn't be aggressive. Aggression is normal. And at the same time, aggression in us needs to be well-bounded, limited, so it doesn't destroy us, it doesn't destroy others. And that's a task for parents. So children aggressive towards each other or towards weak members of the society, it simply shows that their aggression wasn't well-bounded by their parents. They don't know what to do with it.
Very many people, including some child psychologists, feel that the growing violence among teenagers is fueled by violence in movies and aggressive computer games. The fact that some problem youngsters admit they had been inspired by a movie or computer game appears to support this theory. Dr. Vrbovská believes that such movies cannot harm a well-balanced child, though they can lead problem children into big trouble.
I think in general it is rather overestimated, that influence. Let's take a child who has got good parenting. His or her needs are being well fulfilled, so the child feels secure, has got a lot of interaction with parents, has got limits, has got support. However, if you have another child who is missing a lot, so the parents might not be there, he or she is very often alone, doesn't know how to deal with his or her own drive, sexual drive, aggression, thoughts, and there is nobody to interact about it, to talk about it, he or she will be looking somewhere else how to get his or her needs fulfilled. That's for sure. So then film about, soldiers from Mars might be very appealing because the child thinks, well, my parents don't like me, school doesn't like me, where do I belong to? It looks great on this Mars, you know, these strong soldiers, they would protect me. And starts somehow psychologically getting his needs or her needs fulfilled by this fantasy world. And that's really serious.
So what's to be done if parents feel they may have gone wrong somewhere along the line? Dr. Vrbovská again.
I think first of all it's important that they sit together, father and mother, or mother and partner, or father and partner, whoever is around the child, and spend some time thinking of the behavior of these children. What happens? What happened before the child committed something really bad? So it gives them a picture of how the child behaves and how much they know about it. If there is something really serious, I would recommend them to see a specialist who would be able to explain it and help them to change maybe certain aspects of the way they bring up the children. It is very important. They will get support. You know, sometimes grown-ups need support to be able to deal with difficult behavior of their kids. It's normal.
That was Radio Prague's Daniela Lazarova. You're listening to Network Europe with a theme this week, youth violence. Still to come, football hooligans in Sweden. But first, we've heard about gun crimes, about school bullying. In France, youth have been blamed for a lot of public violent events in the past few years, from a recent riot that broke out in a Paris train station to the weeks of riots in 2005 in the Paris suburbs. Lamia Belassen is a 17-year-old high school student in Paris who's part of a youth group organized by the city. I asked her what she thought about the depiction of violent French youth.
Moi, je pense qu'au lieu de montrer à la télé des jeunes qui cassent des voitures, c'est
I think that instead of showing kids on TV who break cars, it's unfortunate because then everyone gets an idea that young people are all that way. And when we go into stores right away, I feel we get looks from store owners wondering if we're going to steal.
Et ça, je trouve que c'est vraiment,
and that's discouraging for all young people. And I think it encourages them to do stupid things, since they aren't encouraged at all by the adult world. Instead of showing youth groups that are trying to do interesting things in the city, they show violent youth, who are violent not necessarily because they want to hurt someone, but because they want to be noticed.
D'être présent, on va dire.
Do you feel the effects of I guess age discrimination in your daily life?
Yeah. Oui, il y a une discrimination d'âge, oui. Yes.
So in stores, where else do you feel it?
Même les professeurs,
even teachers, for example, even parents have less trust in their kids. There's also discrimination against foreigners. Sorry to bring it up, but it's a reality. When I turn on the TV, it's a guy named Mamadou or Mohamed who destroyed a car or knocked over an old lady. That generalizes everyone, and that really bothers me. I have had experiences like this since I'm not completely French. I have Arab roots. I feel that we are always noticed, and that scares me. Because later, when an employer sees an application with the name Marion on it, or one that has Samia on it, I think they'll take Marion. And it seems to me that contributes to excluding us.
And do you think that maybe contributes to a certain anger that might then express itself sometimes in some people in a violent tendency?
The more we see it on TV, the more it turns into anger, whereas it may not have started out as anger. The more you hear, the more you're tempted to say, well, they excluded us too late. Why not do something stupid to bother them even more?
En fait, c'est une colère réaction.
It's a reactionary anger. It's not a voluntary anger that you want to take responsibility for. It's more an anger to say, look, we're here. Maybe it's a call for help. I don't know. I'm not in their shoes. I really don't know. But I think that's what it is.
Violence is blamed on many things. Youth violence is blamed on many things, from society problems to racism to rap music. What do you think the roots or the problem are? What do you think of these solutions? Is rap music to blame for violence? What's going on?
C'est vrai que la musique rap, elle est souvent perçue comme un peu violente.
It's true that rap music is often seen as being violent, but I think it's better to write words about what you feel, even if it involves violence in the words. It's better than burning cars, and I think rap is like all other music. Each person has their subject. Rappers are denouncing what they experience in the projects, since that's really where it takes place. And I think it's a really good way to liberate yourself.
Se libérer.
Does music incite people to violence?
C'est possible.
It's possible. It depends on the person. It's sure that rappers often use violent and brutal words. It's not a call for violence, but people can perceive it that way.
That was 17-year-old Lamia Belhassen in Paris. Each country has its own specific set of issues facing young people. The European Union has not really addressed the issue of youth violence, mostly because in terms of laws and regulations, which are, after all, the realm of the EU, youth violence is addressed by criminal law. Our EU correspondent, Stephen Castle, explains.
Criminal law is basically decided by EU member states. Now, this is an area where European integration is moving ahead. But in order to make that case, policymakers really have to argue that there's a very strong cross-border argument for having an EU regulation. And in areas of, for example, youth violence, unlike issues such as terrorism, where there's a clear cross-border element, it's very difficult with youth violence and with predominantly social issues to make that case for a pan-European approach.
I mean, is that really because each country has its own way of dealing with what essentially are local issues?
Exactly, and each country indeed has different issues. Societies are extremely different in the north of Europe, where, for example, there's a very strong drinking culture, to the south of Europe. We've now got huge changes in the policy approaches with the admission of the new member states from former communist countries, which have all those problems of nations in transition. So really, if you look across the whole continent, the range of problems connected with youth and young people's place in society are really very different. And again, that makes it a difficult case to argue that there should be a pan-European approach.
So there's probably not going to be any sort of pan-European law or anything like that. But what kind of criminal cases does the European Union deal with on a pan-European approach?
Well, the European Union is trying to move ahead in lots of areas of justice and home affairs. It's in fact one of the most active areas of European integration at the moment. But it's looking predominantly in a couple of areas. One is illegal and indeed legal migration, which is a very big issue, particularly in southern Europe. And clearly that does require a European dimension. And the other is in trying to cooperate on the police, intelligence and judicial side in combating cross-border crime, fraud and, in the most serious cases, terrorism.
That was Stephen Castle, our EU correspondent in Brussels. And that brings us to the end of Network Europe for this week. But before we go, I get to give you this month's quiz question. This week, France is going to elect a new president. One of the candidates is a woman, Ségolène Royal, running against Nicolas Sarkozy. The question for you listeners, name two European female heads of state. If you think you have the answer, send it to contact@networkeurope.org. Include your name and where you're from. Visit our website, networkeurope.org, where you can hear this week's stories, our archives, and subscribe to our podcast. Again, that's www.networkeurope.org. Thank you for listening. From me in Paris, this is Sarah Elzis. I'll say goodbye with some music. Diams, a French singer, raps about life in the suburbs. And this song is Où je vais.
La vie c'est hard dès le commencement. Plus j'avance, plus je saigne, donc prépare les pansements. J'ai les larmes à la place du cœur. Une arme dans la poche d'une sœur, ça n'a rien de choquant. Mais où va-t-on franchement? Maman m'a dit, tu verras le monde ici, c'est cool, ma fille. T'es la bienvenue, ton père est basané. Il a filé parce qu'ici c'est cool, ma fille. Il est jamais revenu, cool. Je vis exactement la vie d'Einstein. Je suis incomprise, je dois être un génie dans le style. Maman disait que le rap c'était une musique de bandit. Je me suis dit cool, car c'est là-dedans que je veux grandir. Puis elle m'a dit, touche pas à la drogue. C'était tellement bon que j'ai failli en pleurer ma parole. Mais maman elle pouvait pas savoir que la soif de l'interdit, eh ben c'est tout ce que j'avais en moi.
Pas. J'avais trop honte de cette villa. La mode est dans le ghetto, y'a des bouffons dans les villas. Un beau pavillon dans les sons, c'est pas drôle. Le top c'est de traîner avec ses corps dans les halls. Je pensais que t'avais rien compris. Je suis conne moi, crois-moi, j'ai pas su saisir ton cri. Donc en fait, j'avais des problèmes de petites blanches bourgeoises qui n'ont pas de problème. T'as raison, maman, j'ai tout foutu en l'air. Je fais partie de cette génération de petits branleurs, je te jure. On n'a rien compris à la vie. Moi au moins je sais dire bonjour, au revoir et merci. J'avoue j'ai jamais su partir du bon pied. En fait t'as raison, ils sont cons les jeunes qui tapent les pompiers. Mais maman je pouvais pas savoir que la soif de l'interdit c'est tout ce qu'il fallait pas avoir en soi. D'où je viens, où je viens ni qui je suis. Et dis bien à ceux qui m'aiment bien que je serai là s'ils me suivent. Le problème c'est que je ne me connais pas trop. Je sais juste que je suis pas faite pour le SMIC et ton patron. Je sais aussi qu'il y a des trucs que je comprends pas. Pourquoi je suis si docile avec les gens qui me comprennent pas. Façon ma vie du dimanche au lundi, c'est cet avis, cet ami, donc cet ennui. Je passe d'un rire à une larme en l'espace d'une seconde. Je peux même admirer une arme si mon moral gronde. En gros je me cherche encore, mais je compte faire fort. Tant que je suis pas en tort et que mon rap performe.